morning and welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, February 4th, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. I'm here to talk with Maddie Love in studio with our guest, Zach, from the Zach Religion podcast. Before I start, I do want to make an apology for last week's episode. There were some technical difficulties, but we are here today braving the cold, snow, and football fans. This is an open conversation, and we welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at atheisttalk. The phone number is only available when we are live, but you can always email or tweet whether we're live or you're listening to the podcast. Maddie, Zach, welcome to Atheist Talk.
Hi.
Zach?
Thank you for having me on the show. I try to keep the mute button on as long as possible. Oh, you want to hear me talk? Oh, no.
Yeah, we kind of do.
Oh, so that's why we're doing this. Okay.
Yes. Well, we want to hear you talk about what you talk about.
Exactly.
So what?
Well, I'll do my best.
So the Zach Religion podcast, what is this?
Well, the Zacrilege Cast is a state of mind. I'm sure Maddie doesn't mind me talking about my show in the third person.
I have rules about talking about things in third person.
I don't.
I interview people. So generally speaking, I'm aiming for atheist podcasters and bloggers you've heard of. But if it's someone you don't know, I guarantee they have an interesting story. My guests tell their stories so I can concentrate on drinking. I mean, that's the real point. At first, I was thinking, oh, I'm going to do a show where I talk about the podcast I listen to. And then Bobby from No Religion Required said, hey, I'll show up on your show. So an interview show was born beginning of 2015. So, yeah, 3 years.
So you would say it snowballed from there. We will probably have some snow and weather puns, listeners, because as many,
we're cold.
Yeah, we're cold. It's cold. And it's been hilarious with the Super Bowl here, and all the celebrities were like, wow, it's cold. And all the Minnesotans are like,
no, it warmed up, actually.
Yeah, it did warm up, actually. I think I saw 6 degrees.
Yeah,
on
it was
Google.
-10 on Friday.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is nice. And Zach, you're down in the southern area of the states, right?
Yeah, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. So during the weather part, I was actually putting extra layers on just because. And I think actually Georgia schools just called themselves off for Monday just because they heard your weather report. That's what we do down here. We don't take any chances. It's just above freezing and it's raining here. So we're lucky because, yeah, if we had any freezing precipitation, I wouldn't leave the house for like a week.
Oh, yeah. There are times when Minnesotans look and go, oh, no, we're not driving because that's just bad. But let's get back to your podcast.
Well, I had a question before we get back to the podcast.
Oh, okay.
You know, I've listened to a lot of your shows lately. And so what I think we need to get off like right away is to know, what are you drinking this morning?
Yes, that is a good question.
I mean, it's a Sunday morning, so you should at least be drinking some wine or something.
is it noon somewhere? It's not.
It is.
But today is Super Bowl Sunday, and football Sundays are my excuse to day drink. So in honor of that, and because I loves me some America, I'm drinking an Athena Paradiso, a Berliner Weiss style with passion fruit and guava. So it's like breakfast. From the Creature Comforts Brewery in Athens, Georgia. So I am going local.
Yeah, it's like toast with jam. It's essentially the same thing. You have your beer as your bread, and I've heard some fruit in your beer, so it's toast with jam. Same, it's the same difference.
Zach, you cannot see my face, but I am making my beer face, which is just ugh.
I like to not call myself a beer snob as much as a beer aficionado, and it takes me longer to describe the beer I'm drinking than my show.
So. And also, I'm just sitting here with some herbal tea.
I'm on coffee.
Yeah, we have to drive, though.
Yes.
It was great when I guested on Zach's podcast because I was like, I don't have to drive. where's the alcoholic root beer?
Exactly. See, you play along nicely.
Oh, yes.
So, Zach, why did you choose to put a podcast out on YouTube?
Well, it's probably a matter of being lazy because I do a football show and it's on YouTube. And my friend said, hey, you know, you can record on YouTube doing Hangouts. and then you can burn the audio and make that into a podcast. I'm like, okay, so that's the way I do it. I hear people talk about mixers and editing, and it just gives me the shakes.
I am there with you.
I'm terrified of editing. I mean, I have more PTSD from the one time I had to do it than nearly dying. So I just do my show live. I sing my own intro music because I'm classy, and what happens, happens. It's strangely relaxing for me. People who record, they're like, oh, let's take 15 takes because you know your cat made a noise outside the door. And I'm like, sorry, cats are part of the show now.
I'd like to make a lovely point and thank our producer because he's sitting behind quite possibly the biggest mixer I have ever seen. And while he's listening to you, he's just like,
Yeah.
No, I hate it also.
I get it. An editor's worst nightmare. Me.
Which is why I do it live, because then I don't have to do any of this.
Yeah, we don't.
Thank you. Thank you,
Eric.
We
don't edit this show out. I mean, we pull the commercials off for the podcast, but that's it. Like, it goes up as is.
We make sure that the patrons get the Patreon content.
Oh, yeah. But that's easy.
Oh, yeah. That's just...
Are we recording yet?
Oh, God. Zach, if you want to do some Patreon...
Does this thing work?
No, that's actually how the Patreon starts. The Patreon starts with me going, wait, are we recording? Which we'll probably do, since we'll probably do some Patreon today. But let's get back to the podcast.
Sure.
So you're on YouTube because you hate editing. Did you also join YouTube? Was there any sense of like, hey, there's all these great, awesome, friendly atheist people on YouTube, so this is where I want to be?
I think I figured, I mean, we all know there are bad people around, but I didn't figure out the extent of it on YouTube until probably last year. I mean, just... Yeah, you can get down a pretty crazy rabbit hole when you go there for any subject you find. Like, you discover, of course, he's kind of the opposite of what we're talking about, like Steve Shives, and you see like 50
takedowns. He's terrible, absolutely terrible.
Oh, he's so awful, and it's like, oh my gosh.
I actually had
somebody like do sort of a YouTube takedown. That's like how you communicate on YouTube. You don't talk to each other. You do takedown videos without telling them, and then it gets posted online. You're like, I said this one thing that's why I start my show with out of context quotes, because I feel like a lot of it's out of context attacks, and it's just sometimes it gets super personal and scary, and I don't know, I guess I straddle the line because I started as YouTube, but I do iTunes, and I figure that's where most people find me, is in podcast form.
So
because I mean, yes, we are on video, we are talking, you can see us, you can see me drinking, and that's great. But it's really about what we're saying more than it's not a good video. It's not terribly compelling to see, except for when you're on, of course, but
well, yeah.
it's the vocal part that's, I think, the important aspect of it.
Steve Shives, if you somehow managed to listen to this, no, we do love you. You're a guest, and I would love to have you back.
No, he's terrible.
Are we going to have like an official thing? Because I thought our official enemy was Odd Atheist Friend.
They were, but why not have more?
Oh, dear Lord.
Everybody else is doing CogDis, so we got to do something.
I know, we do. Yeah.
You need a nemesis and someone that you're having a podcast duel with. I've always joked with friends like, hey, we should pretend to be like mad at each other. And it's like, yeah, but too many people are doing that for real. So,
yeah. Oh, I had something else and then I lost it. Dang it.
Just like the internet to rip your soul and your thoughts away. No.
That was... that got dark.
I honestly, when it comes to YouTube, I had no idea YouTube was bad until I started, actually probably in the last year, because I'm not a YouTube-like person. I watch movie trailers on YouTube. I'll search, like, you know, Black Panther movie trailer, Last Jedi movie trailer.
I'm scared. Don't hug me, I'm scared. If you haven't watched it, we will be watching it later.
I have no idea what that is. Is it funny?
I think it will play to your sense of humor.
Okay, good. So, I guess I am happy to hear, like, there's at least now two positive... No, there's three, because there's Beyond the Trailer Park. There's three positive YouTube atheists now that I can, like, okay, good. We're making a dent.
Maybe. Who knows? Maybe I'll get up on there. I'm like you, Zach. I don't want to do that. So, it's like, when I saw that what you were doing, I was like, I could do this. That doesn't look too bad.
We just get a little, like, taste of it, because I had Karen Garst on after, you know, the whole Mythos of Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
And just to have somebody who was at that conference, like, she was the first person to ask a question during that quote-unquote debate. And even some of the supporters of that side like were trickling into the comments, and it's like I only got a couple, and I'm like to see, yeah, you know, don't look at the comment section usually.
I can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can look at it, but you might need a 2-drink minimum for that sort of thing.
That just might get me more angsty or more arguey. Is that a word?
Arguey? Argumentative?
That word.
Yeah. It's all good.
Yes, it's okay. Early in the morning.
So, you know, Zach, you had Hertzy as a guest. You also had Marissa, Aiden McCool, Secular Soup with Amy Y and Amy I. Was it your goal to get all of the best atheist podcasters in Minnesota on your show?
Well, I guess I'm missing at least one. I guess I spend 30 minutes asking cold-related questions because I'm evil, and it is just sometimes odd how geographically close. Like, I feel like there was a 2-month period where I interviewed, like, 6 people from, like, around Cincinnati, because that's a pretty, I don't know, there's a bunch of people around there that are, and so it just, yeah, it becomes this weird geographical situation where I didn't realize I was talking to Minnesota people, and yes, I did ask a lot of questions about it being cold. I tried to keep that off air. It's like, oh, it's going to be 5. I'm like, Celsius? Is this some kind of weather system you have in Minnesota that... I don't know. It's something else.
Well, hold on one moment.
Love the music.
Please stay with us through the break. We'll return to Atheist Talk with our hosts, Maddie Love, and our guest, Zach Law. I'm Hertzy Hertz, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
I'm Jeff Erdman, and I'm running for the DFL endorsement for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District to unseat Jason Lewis and provide people a real, working-class voice in Washington. I grew up in a union home in Lewiston, Minnesota. My dad worked in a flour mill, and my mom provided daycare. My wife Ruth and I have raised 3 kids in Dakota County. I've been an American government teacher and head football coach for 28 years, with the last 18 years being at Rosemont High School. Ruth works as a speech therapist in schools. We've dedicated our lives to local families, and now I'm running to serve them. Here's what I believe. Healthcare is a human right. I'm the only candidate pushing for a single-payer Medicare-for-all system. I'm also the only candidate who opposes drilling, and I have aggressive plans for localizing green jobs and creating wealth in our local economies. It's time for real political reform to take money out of politics. Learn more and see how to caucus February 6th at erdmanforcongress.com. I'm Jeff Erdman, and it's time... for change.
Paid for by Urban for Congress.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug with Hidden Edges Radio on Sundays from 1 to 2 p.m. Join me this Sunday for an interview with Todd Feske, who founded Walking with a Purpose Minnesota, and who will share about how he fell into creating an organization to help the homeless. It's an inspirational story about a human who wants to help other humans. Isn't that what it's all about? Hidden Edges Radio, challenging, passionate, perspective changing. On AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers. With scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned in to Atheist Talk, and I'm your host, Hertzie Hertz, in studio. Excuse me, in studio with Maddie Love and our guest Zach from the Zachrilege podcast. Before we get back, however, I want to remind everyone listening that immediately following the program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production of from American Atheist. Please note, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or the podcast player of your choice. As for the here and now, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation with Maddie and Zach, you can call us at 952-946-6205, email us at radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. Or you can also go to our Facebook page, which I believe is Atheist Talk.
Yes.
That is a lot of times that I have to say Atheist Talk.
And what are we now? We're Atheist Talking.
We are Atheist Talking.
Not Atheist Talk. Atheist Talking.
The verbiage.
So, Zach, listening to Hertzie on your show last time, it came up that you really wanted to like have music play you out of a segment. So now that that has happened, can you say that like your life is complete?
It is a bucket list. Although I should have had like that Oscar speech at the end. And I gotta thank my cat's therapist. And I gotta thank my wife and thanks. You know,
I like that your cat's therapist gets thanked. Before
I've been waiting my entire life. Yeah, sometimes you forget. Like, oh yeah, and I love you. Sorry.
So, and just a programming note for listeners, we are considering changing our name to something that starts with a Z, because I feel like Zachrilege has cornered the market on the entire like Z atheist thing. Like, if you just search Z, you'll almost just find the podcast. And I want to increase our exposure and reach as many listeners as possible.
We could be Z atheists.
We're going to start a feud today. Can't you tell that I work in marketing? Like, I picked a show name based on my name. That's a name people can't spell correctly, and then a word people can't spell correctly. Because it is, take the word sacrilege, you know, get that word out there, have it spelled correctly, replace the S-A-C with Z-A-C-H, and there you go. But I do, at the end of my show, after usually two beers, I can spell it, so you can. I believe in you, listeners. I guess I should have, like, 15 versions of it, like, online, as, you know, if I did have a website, which I don't officially, for people to find it, like, because it, I'm sure people are looking under the Z-A-C-K sometimes, or just the Z-A-C, I know. So, do I want people to find me? That's an interesting question.
So I guess
next time.
Why did you even decide to do a podcast? I mean, I'm really happy you did, because I really like your show, but like, why? It's a time commitment. You do like every week. So like, I guess, why did you decide to do a podcast? And like, what keeps you podcasting?
Well, I guess it's just my opportunity once a week to talk about this freely. It doesn't come up in conversation a lot, and I don't necessarily want to lead with it, but it's kind of important to me. I guess it was Cash, Atheist on Air, in that 2014-2015 era when he was telling people, hey, you need to start a podcast. You may think there are a lot of them, and there are, but have one. And I've pretty much kept a pretty consistent niche. I interview people. I'm not going to run out of people to interview because there are so many shows out there, and then there are a lot of people who don't have shows, but they still have a story to tell. And I like telling stories. I've been doing interviews for a long time, and it's a fun thing to do. And there's a dual challenge as the new person trying to make sure they're comfortable and they're telling their story in a good way. And then there's the person who's been interviewed 500 times, and you're thinking, can I get one question that they haven't heard before? Or can I try to throw them off a little bit and see how it goes? Because it is live. I mean, I'm not trying to do any gotcha, but it's fun to get a different perspective from someone.
Yeah, I was on Sarah Talk Radio last night, which is another just live show, and we were talking about like I do Atheist Talk with Hertzie and stuff, and then I've got my own podcast with Transy stuff, and we were talking about doing your own show because it's good that there are so many other atheist shows out there because you can fill your niche, and if there's listeners out there that don't like your niche, there's other atheist shows around that can kind of like catch them and that they can go to. Because I mean, I've heard from like real, like not real radio, but like real radio people that it's very competitive out there.
Are we not real radio people?
Well, we're not like real radio people who are bleeps or whatever. Like, we really, because I can't swear. I just realized that as I was starting that sentence. like, we don't care about, like, we want, you know, a lot of listeners because we want to reach a lot of people and we want to talk to a lot of people. But, like, we're not as concerned about market share as, say, the 93X, you know, half-assed morning show or something like that.
Sure.
Like, I'm fine if somebody's like, hey, Atheist Talk isn't for me. The Zacrilege podcast, that's, you know, what's meeting my need, or, you know, the Atheist Experience in Austin. And I just, I guess I like that we have like a community of atheist podcasters. And it sounds like that's kind of something that helped draw you in. Am I totally off base with that?
Yeah, I don't mind being in like the podcasting friend zone, as it were. I don't mind being somebody's second or third favorite, because I really am saying, hey, listen to me talk to this great person. Now you can listen to their show and you might like their show more than mine. I mean, really, podcasting, any subject you want to listen to, there are probably 100 shows. So how are you going to find the people who connect with you? And maybe I connect with you, or maybe the guest I have on connects with you. So that's good. And it is like occasionally you go, oh, why don't I have this many listeners? Why don't I have, you know, fans with T-shirts all around? And then it's like, no, I like to prop other people up. That's kind of my personality. So it's totally fine for me to say, yeah, to feel good about other shows that are doing well. And it introduced people to other shows, because, you know, you listen to a show like No Religion Required, sadly, they're just stopped. But to hear people do a show with Southern accents and talk about atheism,
it was awesome. Yeah. I mean, because especially up here in Minnesota, we have the stereotype of, you know, the stupid Southerner, which is it's a really unfair stereotype. But
it
if
really
you want
is.
To make fun of somebody like in Minnesota, generally somebody starts talking like a fake Southern accent. And it's like, that's like a shortcut for like, oh, they're not as smart as us. And that's such a BS like stereotype, but it's one we have. So to hear somebody from the South talk about exactly the same things we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. And Bobby C and Miss Ashley were very intelligent.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, totally. That Jeremy Traeger guy that sometimes is on it, you know.
How many fights do you want to pick?
That's why he got the boot. They all came back. It was like the cast of Cheers. Like the last episode, they brought everybody back. So for the last episode, they brought Jeremiah and Morgan back. So that was cool to get everybody on. And then the equipment broke when I showed up, which is perfect. I'm like, I made equipment break twice in a week. That's a bucket list item right there.
I was gonna say, wait a minute, you're the reason we're having so many troubles.
Well, going back to show, like, getting new people and whatnot, I just listened to your interview with the Secular Soup podcast, Amy Y and Amy I, and that was like, oh my gosh, I laughed the entire hour. It was such a good show. And, I mean, their show was good, but, like, just the hearing what you had brought out of that show, it's like, that's what I want to do with, like, when I podcast. It was, like, to bring that kind of reaction out of people. And you just let them go, and it was wonderful, and it was just fantastic work. Thank you so much for having that episode.
Well, you're welcome, and it's like, can I stop them, first of all? it's a bit tough because, as you know, I've mentioned many times, there's so many shows out there. Well, it's hard for me to listen to a bunch of shows that I like, because usually I'm like, hey, my new guest is on. I need to listen to their show, and maybe I need to listen to them being interviewed by somebody else so I can get a feel. Oh, no.
And I need to stop you there.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're going to be stopped when you're thanking. But thank you for tuning in. We will be right back after the break. And I think actually we're going to have a bit of a topic change when we come back. So that will be pretty awesome. So please stay with us. I'm Hertzie Hertz, and you're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950.
Imagine a world where no one ever went hungry. Where you didn't have to choose between clean air and clean water. And where bitter, drunken comedians didn't have to work in small, dark clubs to tell you how severely screwed up everything is. If that kind of world scares you the way it scares us, then we can help. We're StandUpRecords.com. We offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, and merchandise from the best stand-up comedians on Earth. So please give generously, and remember, together we can't save the world. Yeah, no, we can't. So you may as well just buy something funny. That's StandUpRecords.com.
Doc and Lyft Incorporated in Spring Park reminds us no one anywhere is more noble, righteous, selfless, or courageous than our United States Armed Forces. These brave men and women and their families foot the bill for our freedom every day. We can show we appreciate their sacrifices. Send a military care package today to let them know that they are now and always in our thoughts and prayers. This message from Doc and Lyft Incorporated in Spring Park. We live in the land of the free, thanks to the brave.
Homeownership is one of the biggest financial commitments most people ever make, so why not keep informed? Tune in each week to the House Geeks Twin Cities Real Estate Show, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate, Sundays starting at noon. Kirk Duckwall and Chad Vandelot, the House Geeks, will keep you up to date on Twin Cities market trends, tips for buying and selling, the newest technology, and much more. You can also catch them online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers. Here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheists Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny and cold with a high near 5. Wind chill values as low as negative 20. Tonight, mostly clear with lows around negative 2 and wind chill values as low as negative 16. Monday, highs of 17 and lows of negative 5. Moe's Tax Service has been working for you, not the IRS, since 1971. They're located in St. Paul and are one of the largest sites to electronically file taxes in the country. Returns are electronically filed the same day and your refunds are fast and secure. Check out mohstax.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTFN, KTNF. I'm your host, Hertzy, and we're having what I would classify as a wonderful conversation with Maddie and Zach. Before we continue this conversation, which will be our final segment with Maddie and Zach, there's a bit of housekeeping I need to attend to. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you would like to advertise on the program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. I also want to note our group of dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of you, our donors. And I actually do not have a donor of the week, so I just want to thank all of you so much for helping out. If you're able to help us with the donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page or at our Patreon at www.patreon.com/atheisttalk. All Patreons do get extended episodes. Minnesota Atheists is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. We couldn't do the show without you, and we deeply appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael Davis and is used with permission. Please note all opinions are of the guests and hosts only and do not necessarily reflect those of Minnesota Atheists as an organization. As always, check out the Minnesota Atheists website for podcasts of previous programs. You can browse articles, book reviews, and peruse the calendar for upcoming events. You can also sign up for the Atheist Weekly email, which will tell you when... give you links to upcoming events. It's a great way to stay connected in the community. We're always having a ton of activities around the Twin Cities and the outlying suburbs. If you enjoy the show and all Minnesota Atheists has to offer, consider becoming a member of Minnesota Atheists while you're on the website. Membership has some great perks, and check out how on the website. Also, please note our amazing and wonderful sponsor, Cucumbers, is going to be closed for a bit for remodeling, and I honestly cannot wait to see what it looks like when they're done, and hope to see you at the brunch when they come back. With all that relevant and useful information out of the way, let's get back to our conversation with Zach and Maddie.
I just want to say KNTF is in California. I just Googled it.
Well, we are not in California. There is not this much snow in California.
They have the Laura Ingraham show on their radio station. I'm really happy we do not.
No. Wait, is that Dr. Laura lady?
Yeah.
Ew.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of doctors.
See? Perfect segue.
Zach, you had a fascinating article that was published in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about some issues, some medical issues that happened in your life. Do you want to take a few minutes to talk about that?
Excellent question. And as an interviewee, I am contractually obligated to say that at least once.
I was going to say, honestly, you could don't have to say that. Yeah, you could even say no to that question. I'd be like, great, let's go on.
Yeah, I didn't die. End of story. So in 2001, I spent about 3 months in a hospital due to a staph infection and a blood clot and a few bad reactions to medicines designed to fix these issues. I spent 3 weeks in a medically induced coma, got out, and pretty nearly died. So in September of this year, I took a storytelling class, and that was the story I told of my experience of 9/11, which was the day that my experience and the experience of the rest of America finally meshed. So thanks to that class I took, I was able to publish this extended universe version of the story in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that came out a couple weeks ago. And it gives you a taste of my experience and the fact that not dying is my greatest skill.
That's a heck of a skill, though. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, and I just reread that story again today because I first read it about a month ago when I don't remember now if it was you or if you were on Marissa's show or if Marissa McCool was on your show, because I've listened to so many podcasts lately. But that was the first time I'd heard or read your story. And as I'm reading it, at no point during that story did I see, like, how God got you through, how, like, people were praying over you. Like, there wasn't a mention, like, for it, against it, one way or the other. So I guess my question is, do you have a religious background?
No. My parents didn't raise me in any religious faith. Now, I think as a result of this whole situation, my parents kind of went back to religion. But it didn't happen to me. I just recall coming out of, the drugs they gave me to put me in a coma and get me out of the coma basically erased my memory of going into the hospital. So I didn't even know really what was going on for a couple of weeks. And I just remember the hospital chaplain being there a lot and my parents like praying with him. And I was just like, okay, what's happening here? And it did kind of push him that way, and I've had friends say, well, you should thank God for what happened to you. And I'm like, well, no, I thank the people who were there. I thank the nurses and the doctors, the actual professionals who diagnosed my situation. Because if you thank God for saving you, you also have to say, hey, God, what's the deal? Why'd you give me a staph infection and a blood clot at age 27 and almost kill me? And why did you invent these antibiotics that destroyed my red blood cells after the fact? And so you can go both ways. And I know I had such a great opportunity. I could have written a book. I could have said I went to heaven. I could have said I saw Jesus. But I didn't. And that's the one thing I regret out of this whole situation.
Yeah, well, instead you're taught you write about psychopathic nurses and whiteboards that are coming, chatting with you.
I always say that, these experiences people have, like if you see Jesus and you go to heaven, you're probably a Christian. You know, if you see Allah, you're probably a Muslim. So you see what you believe. And all I saw was having these nightmares and these hallucinations of like my vital signs going down to zero. And then it just hit me like, oh, I die, and then nothing happens. And then when I came out of it, I'm like, yeah, but that was a hallucination. That doesn't mean that's what really happens. You're going to have to find that out when that time comes, and hopefully that's a long time in the future for me.
Yeah, ditto.
I'm a true crime aficionado, so it's like I've actually heard stories of nurses doing that kind of stuff, so I'm just going to stay silent.
Well, I did have to, when I read your story, and I did have to like go back and reread and go, wait a minute, was this something that actually happened? Did the nurse actually like purposely stop his breathing and threaten him? Or is this like a hallucination? Because it was like, oh my God, that is like so potentially real.
It was a hallucination, but they were... I would say they were like on a different level from real. Everything was like hyper real. Mm. And there's so many that I remember snippets of, and like every once in a while it'll pop up and I'll go, oh yeah, I remember watching ESPN and then football players' heads were falling off during the game. And I'm like, wait a second. No, that was just a dream. And that nurse, from what my parents say, that nurse was really, really nice and didn't understand why I was not nice to her. And there's no way to explain. Like, this is my best way of explaining my experience, but really, unless you are me, you can't know what it was like. Like, I really can't know 100% what it was like for my parents to come down. They live in Nashville. They drove down here and they lived in Atlanta for 3 months. They lived in the ICU for like 3 weeks.
Wow.
They didn't leave. And to just think of their daily experience of like just trudging along, like I was critical but stable, like every day for like 3 weeks. I can't imagine what it's like, because just going to the hospital for someone to have surgery and it's over in 2 hours is just a tough experience. So to go through that, you know, it's, there is not enough thanks I can give to the people who are there and helped me out.
I'm thinking that's the, because I always internalize stuff and read it from like my point of view too. And I'm a lab person. So I play with blood and poop and stuff in the lab, but I also come out and drain people of their bodily fluids with sharp metal objects by drying their blood. And like people in your situation, he's like cringing. People in your situation,
well,
I'm like drawing somebody like you like 8 times a day sometimes. And it's like, I've always felt terrible. So I'm just apologizing to you for everybody that had to stab you multiple times a day, I'm assuming.
Yeah. If you want to get over your fear of needles, spend a few weeks in the hospital, and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, it's this vein right here is the best one.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually have gotten to the point where I can tell them what vein is the right one. Nobody wants to use it because it's not in the correct
place.
That's
true. They don't trust you. They're like, no, seriously, this one on the right arm. You're like, no, I have bad veins, by the way. So, oh no.
Actually,
they were like, no, let me check. And they checked like 5 other places. Like, oh, you're right. Okay. I'm like, yeah, I do know my own body in that way. Trust me.
I'm glad we could cut open a vein and have this story up.
Yeah, exactly.
And your story also just kind of took me back. It was quite a few years ago now, actually. My dad fell out of a tree. And so that was a bit crazy of having to go through that and like sitting in the hospital and stuff with my brother and my mom. And I mean, there's like literally nothing to do. And so admittedly, my brother and I, we brought our laptops and we just surfed the internet because we were like, anything to do anything, because otherwise we're just sitting with dad. And he had some hilarious hallucinations. he didn't have the as scary. No, he had the hallucination that he was in a frat house and that he was going to get bourbon.
Oh, that is a good
one. That's a good one.
Yeah. I know. They had a good cocktail for him.
And if you're going to have spirits visit you, those are the kind you want.
Oh.
Yeah. All right.
Ice.
So, ice? Yes, on the rocks.
Ice. Well, ice is true.
I apologize for this cliched question, but like, did it change? Like, as you got done with that, at that whole experience, and you get fully recovered. Do you feel like it changed your life, like mentally, like your outlook?
Well, I definitely gained empathy, and it's funny that at the time I was an atheist, but I didn't think about it. And then like once I realized that not believing in God was a thing. And it gave some people the mads. I thought I could potentially negatively affect my job prospects by talking about it in a podcasting form. And that's kind of how that led to a show eventually. But yeah, I think I wrote in the story, it's like I know what pain feels like. So I know anybody who's been through this experience. I actually got a letter from somebody who just had something like this happen last year. And they really were saying, like, I didn't know anybody else who had this experience. And I'm like, well, now you know somebody. And that's good. I mean, maybe that's a connection to the show. Like, you sometimes people say, oh, there are no atheists in my town. And then you go, oh, no, there are a lot. You just have to, you'll find them. They exist. They're just not going to jump out and say it. And people have had these experiences. I mean, in a way, just to gain empathy for somebody else's experience that you can't understand. And maybe that helps me get through.
Well, and I think to the argument of that you'll hear from Christians, like, there's no atheists in foxholes, or, you know, that line of thinking that when stuff gets really bad, when the proverbial brown stuff hits the fan, it's going to swear again, can't swear, that, you know, you'll turn to God. And here you went through something that was horrible. It was, you know, just a horrible experience. And yet you didn't walk away going, thank Jesus, you know.
I mean, it might have been different if my family was more openly religious before, and it would have been more in the room, but it never came up. I mean, the guy who was a chaplain there did eventually marry me. So, you know, it's not like it was a bad relationship there. The religious people exist, you know, they're going to have to deal with us as much as we deal with them. And that's fine.
Well, yeah. And I mean, a good,
I don't know where I'm going with that.
I don't have like your friend, you know, the chaplain married you. And like the chaplains I work at a Catholic hospital. The chaplains there, we have chaplains and priests. They're both wonderful. Like we get along just fine. We also don't argue about like whether God exists. We just like, how's the best way we can treat the people around us, you know, which is, I think, more important than the whole God question anyway.
Good point.
Well, we have like 28 seconds left, so Hertzie is going to read us out again.
Yes, I am. So thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. We'd love to have you join us again next Sunday, which should be another exciting episode. I'm proud to be on the air with the Minnesota Atheist and hope that you enjoyed the show. And if you can, don't forget to donate at our Radio Fund page or at patreon.com/atheisttalk.
Thanks, Zach.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Director for American Atheists, and thank you as always for joining us. This week I want to talk about an issue that sort of flies under the radar and is something that I don't think too many people are well aware of, and it's certainly something that I, as an advocate and somebody who works in this area, wasn't super familiar with before I started digging into it a little bit more. And that's the issue of so-called religious freedom or religious refusal laws that affect adoption and foster care. In 7 states across the country, there are laws that permit state-licensed child welfare agencies, and these are agencies that receive state taxpayer money, who are in charge of placing children in foster care or in adoption for a forever home. They are permitted to discriminate on the basis of their religious beliefs. And so what that means is that the adoption agencies are free to discriminate against potential parents and against potential foster parents and potential permanent parents, adoptive parents, on the basis of the religious beliefs of the organization, of the adoption agency. And so this typically takes the form of groups like Catholic Charities and a number of other ones. And to be clear, this oftentimes these are directives coming down from the leadership of the Catholic Church, or leadership, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, just like when we're talking about healthcare. The frontline actual workers who are part of these groups often don't share these sort of discriminatory views, but it's sort of directives from on high that they follow that lead to this level of discrimination. So there are 7 states, North Dakota, South Dakota, Michigan, Virginia, Texas, Mississippi, and Alabama, that have varying laws that in one capacity or another allow state-permitted and state-licensed child welfare agencies to refuse to place children, provide services to children and families on the basis of their own religious beliefs. So that includes LGBT people, that includes same-sex couples, that includes potentially people of different religious views, and they're allowed to deny placement on those bases. Only in 8 states, plus the District of Columbia, are there laws that explicitly protect protect LGBT people, specifically on the basis of either sexual orientation or gender identity, and prohibit discrimination in adoption services on those bases. The vast majority of states, 42 states, have no laws that address this issue. And it's important to note that federally, there are no protections for LGBT people. That's, I think, something that not everybody knows about, we tell people, these folks aren't protected federally. There are no federal statutes that protect LGBT people in workplace, in public accommodation, in housing, in adoption services, that this just isn't something that exists currently. And a lot of people are really surprised by that, but that is the case. There are no federal protections. And so there's a patchwork of protections that, you know, are in certain states, but not in most others. And this is an issue that not only applies to the LGBT community, because they're sort of the primary targets of these things, and there's sort of an obvious animus that goes along with that, and a lot of historical movement along that you know, the target is obvious. But these are this applies to atheists as well, that if you put in for an adoption and it's, you know, through a state-licensed, state-sponsored, state-funded agency that happens to be, you know, part of a religious organization, they can deny you placement. They can deny providing a child to you, despite being well qualified and despite being otherwise, you know, completely capable of adopting a child or fostering a child, and even in spite of, you know, any other factors. And so, you know, this is one of those issues that doesn't make as many headlines as something like, you know, the Masterpiece Cake case that was before the Supreme Court this last month. It doesn't make quite as many waves as something like North Carolina's HB2, the local preemption, and the so-called bathroom bill. These issues sort of fly under the radar and affect many thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of potential adoptive parents, but also children who are awaiting adoption. The numbers I've seen are that LGBT people adopt children at four times the rate of heterosexual couples, and also adopt children who are more difficult to place. So that would be older children, children with behavioral or developmental issues, and any number of other reasons that they're staying in the foster care system longer. LGBT people are, I believe it was six times more likely to adopt those sorts of children as part of the system. And children who age out of the system, that is, reach the age of 18 or whatever the age is in their particular state or municipality, without being adopted, tend to have much worse outcomes as far as education, employment, drug use, any number of metrics that you're able to look at to check on welfare and see how people are doing. They have higher teen pregnancy rates. They have higher instance of drug use and actually lower life expectancy. And so this is an issue that is something that the local groups that we're partnering with on any number of issues, ranging from medically accurate sex ed to inclusive non-discrimination ordinances to church-state separation issues to minimizing religious exemptions. This is the sort of thing that, you know, is people look at and say, well, is this an atheist issue? Is this a church-state separation issue? The answer is unmistakably yes. That even though the animus here is primarily targeted at LGBT people, the way that finds expression is through quote-unquote religious accommodations or religious exemptions. And we have to be honest and clear about what those sorts of laws actually do. We have to engage with advocates who have stories to tell, who are part of this struggle and part of this community. And we have to work with legislators in all 50 states because, as I said, 42 different states do not have laws that specifically permit explicitly prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity, and seven states have laws that explicitly grant exemptions and grant the right for religious providers to discriminate, and that's seven too many. And so we need to do a better job of combating this and showing the harm that it causes. So that's something I just wanted to shine a light on and mention briefly. That's all the time I have for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. For more information about our work, or to become a member and register for our national convention, visit www.atheists.org. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next time.